So let's pray. Father God, we do ask that you reveal more of yourself to us. In particular, reveal more of your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand more who he is and how he works today. Amen. So this is indeed what we're looking at, very appropriate for Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit. And to begin with, I'm going to start by asking, who is the Holy Spirit? In the Bible, there are various descriptions of the Holy Spirit. You may want to just pause and think for a moment of what some of those descriptions may be. So we think about the baptism of Jesus. How did the Spirit come down? As a dove. The day of Pentecost, how did the Spirit come down? Tongues of fire. Jesus speaking to the woman, the Samaritan woman, at the well. They start talking about water. And he says, anyone who drinks the water from this well will thirst again. But the water I give, the person who receives it will never thirst. Indeed, that water will well up to springs of living water, leading to eternal life. And of course, we've just sung, breathe on me, breath of God. The symbol of wind is a powerful symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And each one of those talks about the power of God. So the Holy Spirit is the power of God in the world. But if we leave it just at the power, we can get a bit confused. And we can start thinking that the Holy Spirit is a bit like, well, if you're familiar with the Star Wars films, you've got the Force there. And somehow you have to tune into the Force. But the Force is not personal. The Force is impersonal. If you're a Buddhist, you believe in a force behind the universe, the energy behind the universe. The Holy Spirit is like that in the sense that it's the power of God, but it's not impersonal. So as we come and look at some of our Bible reading, you'll notice the words there, how the Holy Spirit is also described. First of all, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counsellor to be with you forever. Now that word counsellor, it's actually a strange word in the Greek called paraclete. And it can mean various things, but it could mean comforter, helper, counsellor, advocate. But the sense is one who comes along aside to help you, to stand in your defence. And notice what Jesus says here. He says, look, I'm going away, but when I go away, I will send to you another like me who will come alongside you, in fact, live in your hearts. So in the one sense, Jesus is saying, I'm going away and you're going to get another one like me in my place. At the same time, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back to you. Because another description is the Spirit of Truth. And in the Bible, when we read about the Holy Spirit, we read that he is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus. Next week is Trinity Sunday, and we're going to try and unravel some of this stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is, in some respects, Jesus coming back to us, but at the same time, distinct from Jesus, another like Jesus, a helper, a counsellor, the Spirit of Truth. Now, the other thing we notice in these words is that the Holy Spirit does things in the way that a person does things. So the language, I will teach you. He will remind us of all things. He will convict the world of sin, and so on. Those are verbs that a person does. And the early Christians realized that was the appropriate language to apply to the Holy Spirit. So we have power, but we also have person. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Truth. He is another counselor or helper like Jesus, and he does things that a person does. He teaches, he testifies, he commands, he convicts. In summary then, who is the Holy Spirit? Power of God, but not impersonal. A person who is God in every sense of the word, but distinct from the Father and the Son. He is the third person of the Trinity. And of course, the wonderful thing is, this is how God is with us now. Because Jesus and the Father are in heaven, but we have God present in the church, we have God present in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we can relate to the Holy Spirit as we relate to Jesus and the Father. And the Holy Spirit helps us do all of that. Well, that's who the Holy Spirit is. I'm already touching on what does the Holy Spirit do. But let's move on and start asking that question. What does he do? At the All Age, I started off this section by getting out a lump of plasticine and started moulding. Not a very good model of a person, but a model of a person. And of course, I held it and it was lifeless. It didn't get up and start walking around and doing things. In Genesis 2, God takes some of the earth, some of the dust of the earth, and forms a human person. And of course, that human person would be lifeless, but God does something to it. He breathes on it. He breathes life into it. In Hebrew, the word for spirit and breath or wind is the same. It's ruach. So the idea is that God is bringing his spirit into that lifeless lump of earth and bringing life. So the Holy Spirit gives life. We're here today because of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just give life at birth. As we're living and we start getting to know Christians, we start getting to know the Bible, we then decide that we're going to commit our lives to Jesus. We say a prayer. I know it doesn't always work quite like this, but we might say a prayer asking Jesus into our lives, and suddenly we start living as a Christian and the Holy Spirit comes to our life. That is described as being born again in John chapter 3. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again, or born from above, or born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So, the Holy Spirit gives us life physically when we're born. The Holy Spirit will bring new life, spiritual life. We start wanting to do the things of God. We start realizing we have eternity in our hearts. We now realize we have a personal relationship with Jesus. That is spiritual rebirth, birth through the Spirit, born again. And finally, our reading from Romans 8 tells us that once we're dead, our souls begin by going to be with Jesus. But when Jesus comes back and brings about the new creation, heaven, we suddenly find that we're given new bodies. Life is given again to our bodies, and they're resurrected to be perfect for all eternity. Romans chapter 8 says that also comes through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us life. He gives us life at birth. He gives us the spiritual rebirth we need. And then he gives life, giving us new bodies that will live in the new creation, heaven, the kingdom of God. That is huge what the Holy Spirit does for us. The next visual aid I used at our all age was a blindfold. Why a blindfold? Well, that was to symbolise that in many ways we're spiritually blind until the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes. The Holy Spirit, we heard it in well, we would have heard it if we'd had John chapter 16 read to us. He convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit makes us realise that actually we're not as great as we think we are. We're all sinners and we need to be saved through the death of Jesus. That realisation, when the penny drops, comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to see that we're sinners. He shows us Jesus. He is the Spirit of revelation. And of course, the Bible itself was inspired by the Holy Spirit. God wanted to reveal himself to us, so he inspired human writers by his Spirit to write this. And this is why we call the Bible the Word of God. God has breathed out the words of Scripture through human beings. It is inspired by his Spirit. And when we read the Bible, if we pray when we can't understand it, We read it again and we realise we can understand it because the Holy Spirit is taking away our blindfolds and helping us to see. So the Holy Spirit helps us see God, see that we're sinners, helps us to see that we need salvation. And then I pulled out some pieces of fruit. He is the Spirit of holiness. We become a Christian, and I remember that I felt I couldn't become a Christian until I had sorted out the sin in my life. And then some well-meaning person said, look, that's only the starting point is to ask Jesus into your life and then let the Holy Spirit start working on all this yuck in your life. It's a lifelong transforming process called sanctification. The Holy Spirit takes us from moment of conversion and starts improving our lives, starts destroying the sin, putting to death sin, and enabling us to please God. And we start producing what's called the fruit of the Spirit. We did a whole series on this last year. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Anybody remember what they are? Don't be shy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If this was a quiz, the choir would be winning so far.
Gentleness.
I'll put you out of the misery. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And Galatians chapter 5 says, look, by nature you're under the sinful nature and you want to keep living this wrong way. Lies that don't please God. Lies that where hatred comes out. Lies that which make terrorists do these stupid things. But when we have the Holy Spirit, and we have to keep in step with the Spirit, we have to work with the Spirit, we stop hating. We start loving. We can know deep joy in our hearts. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. He's making us, he's conforming us to the likeness of Jesus, which is how we will be in the heavenly kingdom. And then I took out of my bag some presents, and we saw different types of presents. Some presents are just good for myself. I might put on some sunglasses. Useful to me, not useful to you. I might get some chocolate, and it's only a small bar. I'll probably scoff it all myself. Not helpful to you, very helpful to me, but not for my waistline. But then there's another type of present. It might be a torch. It might be a football whistle. With those presents, those gifts, I can serve. A referee's whistle will enable me to organise a football match, and I'll be able to serve if you feel up to a game of football. Or a torch. If it's dark, I can switch on the torch, shine it, and we can all see our way. So some gifts we can use to serve others, and that is what the Holy Spirit gives to the Christian. We all have different gifts. And if you read Paul's letter to the Corinthians or Romans chapter 12, you see how we can all serve these gifts in the body of Christ. And we all have different gifts, just as there are different parts of the body. What's your gift? A gift might be, it might be teaching the Word of God. It might be praying for somebody. It might be listening. It might be a gift of administration, or serving coffee, or cleaning the toilet. But all these gifts, we all have different gifts, but all these gifts contribute to the life of the body, Christ's body, the church. The Spirit gives gifts. And finally, rounding it all off, although the Holy Spirit is very much a person, the third person of the Trinity, who will come and we can relate to him, and he's the presence of God in our hearts, he does give us power. Of course he gives us power in the sense that he gives us life, sight, fruit and holiness, and gifts. But particularly, we're told that the power of God is in the gospel, the Christian message. And the disciples, they didn't start off very well, did they? But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them, And suddenly they found they were preaching the word of God boldly. And on that first day of Pentecost, Peter's sermon was so powerful, and the Holy Spirit came and brought this conviction of sin and need of salvation, that 3,000 people joined the church that day. The Holy Spirit gives us, the church, gives us individually the power to go and share the good news about Jesus. And more people can come to know salvation. That is a very, very quick summary of the Holy Spirit. He is God in our lives. He can do amazing things. We're going to say a prayer in a moment. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come in power on us. So please respond in the words in bold. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us. Come, life-giving water. Come. Come and fill us. Come, wind of heaven. Come. Come and fill us. Come, flame of love. Come. Come and fill us. Come, opener of eyes. Come. Come and fill us. Come, Spirit of holiness. Come. Come and fill us. Come, giver of all gifts. Come. Come and fill us. Come, empower of mission. Come. Come and fill us. So, Holy Spirit, we do thank you that you come upon us and you can do amazing things in our lives. So come upon us, help us to see Jesus more clearly, and empower us so that we can be your servants in the church and in the world. Amen.